Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning, and what a blessing it has already been just being in church. I just trust that you can sense the presence of the Lord in this place. We pray all week long that God would make this a place of refuge, and not only for our own church membership, but for all who would come through the doors of this Lighthouse Baptist Church. And I trust that it will be a refuge for you this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, we're going to be reading verse 35 down to verse 38 this morning, closing out this chapter of Matthew chapter 9. If you would, go ahead and stand with me if you're able to, and we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you can follow right along with me. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. The Bible says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you this morning, it is a tremendous blessing to be able to sense your presence in this place, to sense how you have worked through the congregational singing so we might be able to sing unto our God, to see how you have been able to empower and work through the specials that have been presented today, Lord, how they have ministered to our hearts. But now as we open up the precious, holy, preserved word that you have preserved for us, we look at this passage of Scripture this morning. And I pray, God, that each and every one of us would have an open heart and mind to receive what you would have us to from this passage of Scripture. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In chapter 9 of the book of Matthew, if you read the entire chapter, you'll find that Jesus went about healing and preaching. The first 7 verses of Matthew chapter 9, he healed a paralyzed man. Verse 20 to 22, he healed a woman with an incurable blood disease. Verse 23 to verse 25, he restores life to a dead girl. She had died, brought her back to life. Verse 27 to verse 30, he gives sight to 2 blind men. Verse 32 to verse 33, he heals a demon-possessed deaf man. And then we find in verse 35, Jesus was healing every sickness and every disease. Now stop and think about that. Some 2,000 years ago, that's what was happening in Jerusalem. That's what was happening on a little parcel of ground known as Israel on this planet Earth. God became man. And we find that he went around healing every sickness and every disease. As he would get their attention through what he was able to do, then he would preach the gospel of the kingdom. As Jesus would do what no man would ever be able to do, past, present, or future. He revealed things that no man could have revealed about the kingdom of God. He healed as no man has ever healed before. In doing this, he presented through his presence and through his preaching that God was real. There was no other explanation for what was taking place. Now, some today would look back on the history and realize that this is historical. And some would look back and they think, well, that proves that there is life on other planets. Somehow Jesus came from outer space, from some other planet, and he was planted here on present earth just to do these things. And they would rather believe that than to believe the obvious and what the Bible teaches, that there is an almighty creator God. Jesus came not as an adult. He came to identify with humanity. So he came and was born of a virgin. A miracle in and of itself. There has never been one before and never will be another that was actually born of a virgin birth. And he lived a sinless life. He presented things that no other human could ever present. He accomplished things that no other human could ever accomplish. He revealed things to humanity concerning a place of heaven. And he revealed himself to be God. God and heaven are real. All people need to know this. A society where people acknowledge this is a society that God has blessed. The United States of America, can I tell you, is a testimony as to what God can do when a people say, in God we trust. When a people say, we want to establish a society that would honor a creator God. We want to establish a society that would take the laws of God and make them the laws of man. And develop a constitution based upon the reality of a God and the reality of a place of heaven. And because of that, the United States of America has become one of the greatest nations on planet Earth. Amen. Because there is a God. And there is a heaven. And all people need to base their lives upon it. It would revolutionize planet Earth. Mark in chapter 1, look over there, because in Mark's, it's the very same account, but Mark brings out exactly what it meant by him preaching the kingdom of heaven. He explains a little bit more of it when we look at Mark in chapter 1 and verse 14. He healed every sickness. There was not a sickness that he could not heal. He healed every disease. There was not a disease that he could not heal. He raised the dead. But not only that, he preached the kingdom of God. Amen. And in Mark in chapter 1, it reveals a little bit more about that when it says this. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And this is what he said. And say, the time is fulfilled. In the fullness of time, God sent his only begotten son. It was recorded in the Old Testament that he would come. Some 2,000 years ago, it just was that time. It wasn't that he just existed, he just came to an existence there. No, he always was. The Bible says he was there in the beginning, and he's going to be there in the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. God came from heaven a different dispensation, a different place, and he came to earth, not from outer space, not from another planet. God came from heaven, and he came to earth with a message to humanity, a message that will fulfill Old Testament prophecy, a message that would take us through this New Testament church age. He came from this different dimension, which is all around us. It's not beyond the stars. It's not beyond outer space. It's all around us. It's a dimension that if we only have heavenly eyes, we could see, but we don't have that. The naked eye can't see it, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It does exist. And he preached it. And what mankind was to do, what was most important for mankind to do, is repent. Realize you're lost. Realize you're a sinner. Repent of that sin. And believe the gospel. Amen. That's what he was doing. That's what he did. And it revealed that the heaven is real and God is real. If you'll just read the word of God, if you'll just look at it with an open mind to there being a heaven, to there being a creator God. Put out of your mind what Satan wants to use to blind you to. Put out of your mind humanity. Human wisdom. And just look to the simple truths and the facts that God has presented when God became man. Go back to our text here, Mark, because that's what he said in verse 35. Leading up to this, verse 36 records what Jesus as God saw on the earth. But when he saw the multitude, now it's recorded for us to learn more about what God sees. Jesus was God. He knew what was taken up, but it's recorded for what he wanted us to see what he saw. But when he saw the multitudes, humanity, not just in Jerusalem, not just there, but around the world, they're in the very same situation. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. God has a compassion for humanity. Humanity, God created humanity for his pleasure. Because they fainted. The first thing that he records that he saw from the eyes of God, who was full of understanding of heaven and earth, he saw humanity as fainting. Now, this would not be passing out. What it refers to there and what he is revealing here in this word fainting is bewildered in life. Humanity, for the most part, is bewildered concerning life. Human life can be cruel. Yeah, you can look and around the world and see people starving. You can look around the world and see people dehydrating because of no fresh water. You can look around the world and you can see a lot of cruelty in the world. You can go downtown, walk through the alleys of downtown and just see a lot of cruelty. You can go to the missions and see a lot of cruelty because life can be cruel. Somewhat like a paralyzed man. Or a woman with an incurable blood disease. Or maybe even a dead person. Or somebody blinded, two blind men. Or maybe somebody demon-possessed. It can be very cruel. Life can be very empty. People taking their lives in record numbers. Teenage suicide, record numbers. Why? Because life is empty. Life is meaningless. When you take God out of your thoughts, when you take heaven out of your hopes, life can be meaningless. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. But when you put Jesus in it, when you put God in your life, when you focus your life knowing that there's a heaven, when you live your life knowing that there is life after death, this life is not all there is. There is a heaven that goes beyond this earth. Then you find out what Jesus brought to this earth. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, it says this: the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he saw the effects of what Satan had done to humanity. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. If you understand what Jesus brought to humanity and understand that there is a creator God and there is a heaven to look forward to, listen to me, that will make your life more meaningful. And you will be able to get more out of life, and you can live the abundant life through Christ. That's what he offers. That's not only in this life, but then an everlasting. Amen. That means your life will never end. The joy you can have in living for God now just exaggerates when your body dies and your spirit goes on to be with him. Then the joy becomes even greater. And the life more abundant than ever before. Heaven is real. God is real. 2 Timothy chapter 1, as Paul writes to young Timothy, for us to learn from this, in 2 Timothy in chapter 1, Jesus' presence here revealed God's real, heaven's real. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, speaking of Jesus, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for every one of our lives. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Yeah. And hath brought life. And not only life here, but look what it says here. Immortality to light through the gospel. Abundant life. Immortality. Life everlasting. Why would we not want to believe that? Why would we not want to put that in our hearts and our mind and live our lives on planet Earth with this hope, with this understanding? They fainted. He looked out at the masses and saw them bewildered. Not only that, but the second thing he saw was that they were scattered abroad. No unity of belief. There's no unity of belief in the human race. As you look around the world, there's no unity of belief, therefore, no real direction. You have those that want to believe in religion, not necessarily in Jesus Christ. They just want to be religious, and they go through a lot of different things in this world, rituals. But it's just religion. It's not going to bring joy, the joy of the Lord. It's not going to give you what God offers. It's just religion. And then you look around, if it's not religion, it's atheism. Or if you will, humanism. There is no God. We are our own gods. We don't have a God to look to. We have to make it on our own. There's no unity of belief unless you look to Christ. One day in heaven, there will be a unity of belief, and that's what's going to make heaven heaven. Part of what's going to make heaven heaven. There's no doubt. There's no dysfunctional lifestyles in heaven. No dysfunctional families. No blinders. John chapter 10. Go back there with me. Jesus presenting this truth in so many different ways. But John chapter 10, verse 26 and verse 27. He saw them scattered abroad. No unity of belief. And he says this in chapter 10 and verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. You don't have a unity of belief because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, but more importantly, look right here. They follow me. Can I tell you what unifies the Lighthouse Baptist Church? Jesus Christ. We are a church that believes that there is a God. We are a church that believes the Bible is the Word of God. We are a church that believes in this Bible being the authority by which we stand. There's no hierarchy in this church. There's no one above anybody else. This church is unified, and we're going in the same direction because we are all looking to Jesus Christ and looking to the Bible as the authority by which we are living by. If the whole world had that, think of the difference it would make if the United States would, if you will, somewhat get back to that. Stop redefining morality. Stop trying to redefine family. Stop trying to redefine what a man is and what a woman is. Amen. Stop trying to redefine what God has established and just believe and preach and teach the Bible. There would be more of a unity in our own United States of America. But he looked out and he said, people are fainting, bewildered. They're scattered abroad. The third thing he saw was they're as sheep. Now, if you understand the animal, sheep, they can't survive on their own. And he looked at humanity and said, they're a sheep having no shepherd, no protection from evil. And this world is filled with evil. Satan is that roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In John chapter 10, once again, we find that Jesus told him this. We read verse 10, but the thief cometh, that's the devil, but to steal, going to steal the blessings of God from you, going to steal the awareness of God from us, and to kill any life that we have, kill any relationship with God, kill any truth, to kill and to destroy. That's what Satan will. No protection from that if you don't know Jesus. No protection from evil. He looked out and he says, they're as sheep having no shepherd. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Look what he says in verse 11 now. I am the good shepherd. Available to anyone who would simply believe in him and call upon him to be your savior. He can be your shepherd. He can be your protector. He can watch over you. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. It's available to all. It's what Jesus saw. This is what God still sees as he looks over the earth. Satan looks to destroy us through religion, the religions of the world. He looks to destroy us through atheism, humanism, redefining everything about life. He looks to destroy us, and he will, and he is. All those except for those who are looking to Jesus. And he becomes the good shepherd in your life. Go back with me. We're going to close here. I don't have much more. But here I want you to see the last two verses. The last two verses. This is what he saw. He saw this. You could still see this today. You look around on present 21st century. You can see this today. People are bewildered in life. They're scattered. There's no unity. They're a sheep having no shepherd. They don't even realize it. They're blinded to it. And then he says, verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You see, the people were and are the harvest. They were created in God's image, made after his likeness. They exist for the pleasure of God. That's the harvest. And it's plenteous. They're all over the world. Fainting, scattered, sheep having no shepherd. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. That's Almighty Creator God who created man in his own image after his own likeness, that he will send forth laborers. That's what we need is laborers into his harvest. The New Testament church is what Christ established as the vehicle that he would empower and use to reach the world. You're sitting in it. At least the facilities that we call the Lighthouse Baptist Church, but the Lighthouse Baptist Church is really not the building, it's not the facilities. It's made up of born again believers, yeah. Disciples. Whether you're a babe in Christ or you're growing in your faith as the church is to teach all things, whoever Christ has taught us, that's discipling people, get saved, come in, get baptized, be discipled, so that we can all together accomplish what God would have us to accomplish, and that is reaching the lost, going into all the world, preaching the gospel. That's the harvest. That's the harvest. As disciples, if we see what Jesus saw, do you view the world like that? Can you see how the world could be blessed, how people could be blessed if they only knew what you know, if they only had what you had, and having a good shepherd? As disciples, if we see what Jesus saw, we would have to do something about it. Can I tell you, there's a harvest of children. Here in the city of Indianapolis, there's children being raised without no idea that there's a God. There's children being raised with no idea that there is a place of heaven. And Jesus sees them today just as he seen the multitudes then. And as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, through the vehicle that he established as a Lighthouse Baptist Church, we have to do something about it. And that's why we have bus ministries. How could you not want to reach children? There's a harvest of children all around us. How could we not do something about that? That's why we have Vacation Bible School last week. Amen. Bringing in children from all around and seeing them here for the first time, many of them, that Jesus loves them and he wants to give them everlasting life. And many got saved. And they got saved because as a church, we're just seeing the harvest. We're wanting to be laborers in the harvest, and we're wanting to harvest the children that God loves and wants us to bring to Him. There's a harvest of teenagers all around. City of Indianapolis, just a handful. But teenagers, you're a harvest. We have a youth ministry here. We have a full-time youth pastor here because we desire to reach the harvest of teenagers. God wants every teenager to be saved. God wants every teenager to know that He's real. God wants every teenager to know that you have heaven to look forward to. No matter what kind of trials you have on this earth, no matter what kind of tragedies you might have to go through in life, you have a God who loves you, that proved it by sending His Son to die for you, and He has a home in heaven prepared for each and every one of you. Every teenager needs to hear that. They'd stop committing suicide if they did. They believed it. They would stop, for the most part, living the way that they're living if they truly believed it. We have a harvest of teenagers all around us. We have a harvest of women. We have a harvest of men. That's why we have ladies' conferences. That's why we try to do everything we can to help ladies to understand what the Bible teaches concerning the position that God has given to you as a lady. That's why we need to have examples of Christian ladies in our church. That's why we need to have an example of Christian men in our church. There's a harvest of men out there that do not understand, that are fainting every day, that are being led astray and being destroyed, and yet we have what they need. They just don't understand what they need. We have to go into the harvest, and we have to harvest those men and harvest those women. It's the will of God. It's the work of the church. If you're saved, you're part of it. Get a burden. Jesus saw it and He wanted to present this because He wanted His disciples to see it. He wanted them to have the same compassion that He had. He wanted them to see what He came to do, and that was to seek and to save that which was lost. Get a burden. Teenagers, get a burden for other teenagers. Women, get a burden for other women. Men, get a burden for other men. Because men can reach men. Women can reach women. Teenagers can reach teenagers better than any youth man can reach teenagers. We just got to have a burden. We need to see what Christ saw. This world needs the doctrine of Christ instead of the doctrines of the world. And it will make a difference. Do you have a burden? If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Do you see what Jesus saw? Do you have a burden to start praying for laborers? When you start praying for laborers, you have to be a laborer. You will commit to laboring to reach and to harvest the souls of children, teenagers, of women, and men. Do you see what Christ saw? Father, we bow before You now. We thank You, Lord God, for meeting with us. Thank You for what we received leading up to the preaching. And Father, I believe I have been faithful to present what You wanted to have presented today. But it's up to You to take it and make it applicable to each and every one that's here. I believe right now You're pricking hearts. You're helping those to see what they need to see. I pray that they would acknowledge that. If they need to come to this altar to make whatever commitments and whatever decisions, I pray that that would take place. Bind Satan from blinding them and help everyone see exactly what You want them to see at this time. In Jesus' name we pray.